Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. That was Shante Kane, Da Da Da, featuring Snarky Puppy. If you want to get that song, I suggest you hit the website. You can hit them all, iTunes, Google, CD Baby, all those wonderful outlets, and you can download her latest project, Shante Kane. She's one of my favorites, and I'm glad you could tune in tonight. This is Glam Network Radio. I am your host, Crystal Willingham, and this is our media series, Power, Triumph, and Influence. And I'm so glad you joined me tonight. If you were here last, if you were joining me last week, we got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful introduction to this media project series with the, I call her the woman extraordinaire, Pastor Stacy Prater White. She gave us so much insight on mothering and parenting, and she really led us into her private life and talking with us about her mom and her mother passing away at the age of 46, mother of 14 children, and how they all were able to survive and get through that extremely sudden moment in the lives of all 14 of those children. So if you want to listen in on that, you can go back to the website, to the home website on Blog Talk Radio /Glam Network Radio, and look for Stacy Prater White, and she'll be right there. You can download and listen to it anytime you want. But again, I want to welcome you and thank you for joining me tonight. This is the media series, 50 to 60 Women, and I will be interviewing 50 to 60 women, power couples, and female teenagers who have stories of power, triumph, and influence. And their stories are going to be released into your eardrums to encourage you and uplift you in times that you really need it. And I don't know about you, but in the world that we are in now, there's so many crazy things happening around us every day. We don't know from day one to day two what's going to happen in our everyday lives. Floods are happening. Fires are happening. One side of the country we're flooding. The other side of the country we have massive forest fires and wars and rumors of wars are taking place. There have been numerous alarms of mass armed shooters in various places, and things are all just going awry and haywire all over the world. So instead of focusing on the negative, we want to encourage you and lift you up. So we're going to bring 50 to 60 women, power couples, and female teenagers to encourage you and give you something to smile about. If you think you're qualified for one of those 50 to 60 women to be interviewed, I do have some criteria. So if you want to know what that is, you can email me, info@thetotalwomanglam.com. That's info@thetotalwomanglam.com. We have some very, very, very exciting guests coming up. And I would love to let you in on some of those, but I got to wait. I got to wait. I got some surprises coming for you. I'm so excited. about everything that is going on with Glam Network Radio. Hey, I'm going to share some wonderful stories with you today. I saw something on Facebook today, and I was so excited and happy to see that Pastor Shirley Caesar received star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. How about that? She did that today. That happened for her. I'm so happy for Pastor Shirley Caesar. I think that they couldn't have given that honor to anyone else. She deserves it. She is an 11-time Grammy-winning gospel singer, Shirley Caesar, on Tuesday. She became the 2,583rd recipient of a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame. The honor comes at the as she reaches her pinnacle of life at 77 years old. She's a legend, and she celebrates her 50th anniversary as a solo artist, and her most recent album, Fill the House, was released just this month on June the 3rd. Caesar is known as a musical trailblazer who has influenced a wide range of artists all over the world. Her star is located in front of the Fonda Theater on Hollywood Boulevard near fellow gospel singers B.B. and CeCe Winans. Right there to celebrate with her was Yolanda Adams and Kirk Franklin. You can watch the entire ceremony on the internet. If you Google Shirley Caesar, star on Hollywood Walk of Fame, they have the whole ceremony uploaded for you to watch. And I suggest you go watch that. I mean, it's not often that you can get honored that way. She's the 2,583rd of all of the history of Hollywood. She's 2,583, and that's a very, very big accomplishment to be honored with that star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So I'm so, so happy for her, so proud of her as well, and I'm glad that she got to see that while she is yet here with us. And I don't know what better way to honor someone than to give them a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I mean, really, it doesn't get any better than that. Today, we're going to have some exciting news coming up right after this break. We're going to talk about a retreat that I'm going to be personally attending myself, so I hope that you come for that. And also, we're going to get ready for our guest. Her name is Shante Williams. She is the founder of Greater Working Women, and she has a series of devotionals for Greater Working Women. And she's also spearheading an ongoing project, I Am Still Somebody. And I'll let you guys in on what that is about when we come back from this very, very short break. Let's take a moment to breathe and sit back and have an epiphany. And by that time, we'll come back and be ready to introduce our guest. Stay with me. Hey, did you like that? I did. That was specifically and specially written for me for this particular talk show. It used to be the Crystal Talk Show Online. Now we're out the Glam Network Radio. And that was written by Brian Isaac. Go look him up on Instagram and Facebook. He's an awesome, awesome artist. and he wrote that just for us. I want to share another piece of news with you very, very quickly. I want to pay homage to a woman who broke records. She broke records in the NCAA, and she's also an Olympic gold medalist. And this woman, I didn't realize that she was fighting dementia until we were alarmed of her passing today. And I'm extremely honored that we have women, which is what this show is about. We have women who are trailblazers in this world, who go out and set trails, who change the rules, who makes the world recognize what we can do as women. And her name is Pat Summitt. She's won championships as head coach of the University of Tennessee women's basketball team, and she's won more wins than any NCAA college basketball coach in history. Okay? You hear me? More than any NCAA college basketball coach in history when she was forced to retire at the age of 59 because of her diagnosis of early onset Alzheimer's disease. She did pass away today at Cheryl Hill Senior Living in Knoxville. She was 64 years old. She died from complications from that disease, and she unexpectedly became the coach of the Tennessee Ladies Vols when she was 22. How young is that? And over a 38-year career, formed a dynasty seldom matched in any college sport. She was the first college basketball male or female to reach 1,000 victories in her entire career. She's also National Coach of the Year 7 times and was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame of the year 2012, years before she stepped down, with a record of 1,098 victories. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom and the nation's highest civilian honor from President Barack Obama in 2012, and by far the country's most successful female coach in any sport. She molded teams and recovered from a serious knee injury to win the silver medal as a player for the U.S. women's basketball team in 1976. The first women's basketball was the Olympic sport. 8 years later, she coached the U.S. women's team to its first Olympic gold medal. Under Pat Summitt, I'm sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied, the Tennessee became the most dominant team in college sports. Her success as a Tennessee helped catapult women's basketball to popularity through the sporting world, and she did it all on her own. She was honored and inducted into the Hall of Fame, and she is one of those women that we want to honor and remember today. Remember, this media series is about women of power, triumph, and influence, and she has displayed all three of those characteristics. So we want to pray for her family and pray that this hour and time of transition for them will go as smoothly as possible and that God will grant them peace. Hey, listen, this is a great series. You want to be a part of it. Again, I said, if you think you're a candidate for Power, Triumph, and Influence, you can email me, info@thetotalwomanglam.com. Also, we are looking for sponsors. So if you would like to be a sponsor for $10 a month, you can email me as well. And not only will we sponsor your organization or your business on this show, I will personally do a voiceover commercial just for you and put you right on the air so everyone will know who you are and where to find you. So again, if you want to be a sponsor, $10 a month, please email me info@thetotalwomanglam.com and put in the subject line sponsor, and I'll be more than happy to add you on. Okay, so let's get started. I got my friend on the line waiting. Her name is Shantae Williams. She is the founder of Greater Working Women, and we're going to have a little chat about Greater Working Women and also her ongoing project, I Am Still Somebody, and I'll let you guys know why she says she is still somebody. Shantae was a teenage mom. Throughout her life as a mom, growing up as a teenage mom, she's going to talk with us about her wonderful, powerful, triumphant journey as a teenage mom. Are you there, Shantae?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Good to see you. And well, actually, good to hear you. can't see you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I appreciate your time. And you are a woman of power, triumph, and influence. I'm so glad that you could join us tonight, and I want to talk to you a little bit about who you are and where you come from.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is indeed a pleasure to be on the Glam Blog Radio.
Shantae is one of my biggest fans. I got, okay, I'm going to get in trouble with my husband if I say that, but you know what I mean. She's one of our biggest fans, and I want to, and I say, and I use the word fans very loosely, and she's one of our greatest supporters, and she's always been around to support Glam, and so we want to give her as much support as we possibly can in supporting Greater Working Women and the I Am Still Somebody ongoing project, which I absolutely adore. But Shantae, tell us who you are, where you, as we used to say back in the day, where are you from and who you with? Tell us about Shantae Williams.
Yes, well, good evening, everybody. My name is Shantae M. Williams, and I am, I just recently located within the past year from Mississippi to Columbia, South Carolina. And so I am a chef, I am an author, I am a speaker, and I am a teen mom mentor. And one of my missions and passion in life is to encourage, empower, and equip women for greater and to do the same for teen mothers. I am a mother of one child. She is going into her senior year in college. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so I am just so excited that he's been faithful, you know, through it all. You know, as Crystal said, you know, I became a mom at the age of 15. That was very glamorous. And so
right.
know, we grew up together. We literally grew up together. So I'm still learning how to be a mother. And every day I'm learning to appreciate motherhood, the ups and the downs, and just to count it all joy, because you just never know from day to day what this life brings. So that is pretty much me in a nutshell. I do have one brother. He's a couple years younger than me, and it's just the two of us. So that's me in a nutshell.
That's her in a nutshell, but that nutshell is going to expand in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about Greater Working Women, and we're going to talk about I Am Still Somebody. And I did not mean to forget that you are a chef. She cooks too, y'all. She sent me cookies in the mail telling you it was good. So we are a jack of all trades, and we kind of have to be that way, especially if we are kingdom citizens. It's just the way it is. We are multi-talented, we multitask, and we do a little bit of everything. As Paul says, we become all things to all men as much as we possibly can with the gifts and talents that we have. So I'm glad that you mentioned that you're also a chef, so people can hear and understand something. You know, it's not just one or two things that you do to pull up your own bootstraps and get moving. you gotta be creative if you're going to survive in this world. So tell us a little bit about your journey as a teenager yourself. You became a teenage mom. How old were you?
Teen when I had my daughter.
Wow. And so at 15 years old and carrying a child, what was that like for you? Now, back then there was a stigma on teenage mothers back then. We just, you know, they tuck us away in a corner. Well, I say us. I wasn't a teenage mom, but they would tuck us away in a corner, you know, put us off to the side, put us in special schools and all of that. So what was that journey like for you when you discovered that you were carrying a child at the age of 15?
It was very scary. It was very challenging. You had to undergo, you know, the evil looks, you know, the whispers, the rumors, the mistreatment. People saying, oh, well, you're never going to be anything. You're just going to continue to have babies. You're never going to do anything with your life. And you know, the stuff that teen mothers have to hear, because people are unable to see past the circumstance. They see only the negative, and they don't necessarily see, well, you know what, even though she may have made an unwise choice, God can still turn this around. And so it was very hard, you know, for a long time. You know, I struggled, because the only thing I ever heard was, you have to live for your child. Now, everything is about your child. You don't have a life. You can't do anything. Everything you do is about your child. So for a very long time, that's exactly what I did. It's like I didn't exist. And everything I did was for my child. Everything, you know, every decision I tried to make, it was, you know, is this going to be right for Kiana? You know, is this going to help her? And so, you know, a lot of things that I wanted to do were kind of just, you know, locked away in a dungeon somewhere, because that's what I heard consistently, whether it was verbally or non-verbally. It was just automatically, you know, said, well, You know, you're not going to be that much. So, you know, you just need to work, get whatever you can and do what you can for your child. And so that's what I did because that's what I believe. But I found out, well, not soon, later in my adulthood, that was not true.
That was definitely not true. Now, talk about the ridicule. I want to go back to that because we don't have that as much now. But it's still there. Talk to us about the ridicule that you faced, you know, and the snickers and the stares and the gossiping or whatnot. Talk to us about the about being singled out and the ridicule that you came through.
It was tough. It was a lot emotionally. People forget that aspect of teen motherhood, regardless of how the young lady became a teen mother. There's a lot that she deals with emotionally. She's still trying to figure out who she is. She's still trying to grow up herself, and now she has this little person that, you know, to have she has to take care of. And so it was hard. And for somebody who doesn't have strong self-esteem, it can really crush them. And I know for me, it was, I come from a family of strong-willed women. So, you know, even though I was headstrong, I was still suffering on the inside silently. And just to give you an example, I had a teacher. I was an honor roll student all through school. So even when I was out on return leave, I did my work. I mean, I kept my grades up. But I had one teacher. It was my human anatomy and physiology teacher, Mr. Dean, and I'll never forget this. Even though I did the work, he told me, I can't give you a grade higher than a D because you were not in my class and I don't think it's fair. And so in essence, what he was saying was, you're really not going to succeed. You probably won't graduate, so I'm just going to help you out. And so all of my classes, I still maintain A's and B's except for that one class. That he would not give me any higher than a D, even though I did every single work that he sent home. I mean, I didn't miss an assignment for any class. And so that right there, you know, it was tough, you know, for people to just boldly tell you, you know, out, you know, you're really not going to succeed, you know, not getting that encouragement. I had some teachers, you know, that would still encourage me and say, you know, you're doing a good job. But sometimes it's that one negative that can really outweigh and drown out all of the positives.
Sure.
Because everything around you is already hard. You know, things at home are hard. And you have to go to school and you know, things are hard. And a lot of times you don't have anybody to talk to. I mean, you know, who do you, you know, it's like they tell you don't really, they make you feel like you don't have a right to complain or to vent or to have an issue because you created an issue. And so going through that emotionally was extremely tough. It was extremely tough. I really wish that I would have had the opportunity to talk to a therapist during that time to help talk through those emotions. And even though you're facing this, there's ways that, you know, you can work around that to try to keep the inside of you healthy. And so because I didn't have that, it was just, you know, you just I just kept pressing. I just kept going forward
pressing. And then when you're pressing and you have to remember why you're pressing, you're not just pressing for yourself.
Exactly.
There's a child, a human being that you now have to cover, protect, and provide for and have a future for that child. And so you kind of just got to go into automatic survival mode, but not just surviving but making a living, you know, for yourself, something to look forward to. Now, you made it through high school and everything, and you defied what what that teacher thoughts were concerning you, and you move forward and you go into college, and I believe you said you went to college. Is that correct?
Correct. My first degree.
Now, what was college? Now, I can't imagine going to college with a little one. You know, I'm going back into school, and my son is seven, so I can't imagine. Not just, you know, going into college as a young person, you know, as a youth with a child. What in the world was going on in your mind when you got your letter of acceptance to college and said, okay, now I got to go and move forward with my life?
Actually, my first 2 years in college, my mother kept my child. And so she didn't come with me until my third year in college. So even in that transition, it was like, okay, I'm child free. I can actually live now, which really wasn't a good thing, which really just led to, okay, let me just, I just wild out and just did crazy stuff. and basically because, you know, it was like, okay, my mind is saying, okay, you're free now. You can do everything you couldn't do in high school. And that's exactly what I did. I mean, exactly. And even though I wasn't mature enough to bring my child with me, if I could go back, I would have never left her.
Yeah. Wow.
But I've never left her.
You feel that having her with you would have kept you, you know, focused on what you had to do and what you needed to do.
It absolutely would have. Absolutely would have. I would have been more, I probably would have graduated on time because I actually ended up going 5 years instead of four.
Okay. Okay.
So
well, I mean, you know, that
definitely.
Anyway, yeah, that happens to some of us anyway, but at the same time, I do understand what you're saying. You could, you know, you would have been on schedule and on point and everything. But, you know, the Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love God, including our mistakes and mishaps and errors and things like that. God's sovereignty puts us back in line when we are
most definitely
when we're ready and when we're focused. And so we are, you know, getting through college and you are soror and everything and, you know, life is starting to blossom. And then, you know, here comes school and parent-teacher conferences and all. Then you realize you're a bona fide parent when you go to parent-teacher conference. I don't know if anybody else thinks that. But you're a real parent when you go to parent-teacher conference and the teacher looks at you and calls you Mr. or Miss So-and-so. I mean, it's just like, wait a minute. I'm a parent of a real human being whose butt I got to beat when I get home because he acted up in class.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So, you know,
that
you got
so
that
true.
Moment of realization. Yes. What were you thinking when you said, wait a minute, now I'm a parent teacher conference, this child is in school, and now I got to think about what am I going to do to prevent her from making the same mistake I made?
Exactly. And one of the things that I was just determined to do is to make sure she had was exposed to different things that I wasn't exposed to. So I got her in Girl Scouts. She did, it wasn't gymnastics, she did ballet and jazz and something else. So she did that when she was, you know, little. It was just my goal to make sure that she knew that this wasn't the life to live. That was, I didn't want it to seem like an easy life, but I wanted her to make sure she wasn't missing out on anything because she was growing up in a single parent household. So a lot of things, I will admit, a lot of things I kind of did foolishly because I didn't understand that it doesn't matter how hard you work. I was never created to be a father, and that's not a role that I can play. But I was foolishly trying to play that role because I didn't want her to think that she missed out on anything. So if it was something going on at school and, you know, if her friends were in it, it was like, okay, you can get in it too. You know, at all costs, you know, I made sure that she didn't feel like that because of home life that she was left out of things. And so she never was really told, well, mama can't do this because mama don't have the money. Or mama can't do this because, you know, I'm working two jobs. She never really heard that.
Yeah.
She never really heard
that.
Wow. So I did whatever
That's
I had
a beautiful
to
thing.
Sure she said,
That's
like,
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful to keep her aware of the opportunities that are available to her if she believes that she can do it. And that's a great way to end this segment. We're going to take a short break and come back, and I got some things I want to share with our listening audience. We're going to get right back into talking with Shante Williams, and we're going to talk about Greater Working Women and the I Am Still Somebody. I love this project, by the way. This girl right here is a writing woman. I tell you, there's no way that you won't know that you are still somebody if you don't get on Amazon.com and look her up and get that series. But we'll talk about it. When we come back, we're going to take a little short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with me. Oh, my gosh. That was Rita Springer, I'm Okay. If I'm not mistaken, I believe she wrote that song. She has an adopted little boy. He's an African-American skin, so I don't know if he's African-American. But Rita Springer is a white woman, and she adopted this beautiful, colorful African-American little boy, and I believe that she had written that song for him, If All I Have Is You, I'm Okay. And so such a beautiful, beautiful little boy, and he's very, very creative. So she gets him tapped into the creative side of himself, and they have a wonderful relationship. She shares sometimes stories about him, and I just love reading about her and this adopted little boy that she's so in love with. I want to do a short commercial here, and I want to invite you to Ellis & Ellis Consulting Group Authors Retreat 16, The Emerging Scribes. It's the creativity, the dream, and the passion. From July 14th to the 16th, Atlanta, Georgia, retreat instructors and facilitators are Javon Belden, Davina Ellis, Joshua Smith, Vincent Hill, and Kyle Dock, hosted by Paul Ellis. The venue is Hilton Garden Inn Hotel, 1735 Browns Bridge Road, in Gainesville, Georgia, 30501. If you'd like more information or you'd like to attend this conference, listen very carefully. Visit the website, ellisandellisconsulting.org, and when you email them, let them know that Glam Net Radio sent you, and you just might get a discount. So please tell them Glam Network Radio, Crystal Willingham sent you, and you can receive a small discount just for getting to this retreat. I know these people myself, and they are awesome at what they do for all of your publishing needs. If you have a book, you have a flyer, and you need consultation, PR, marketing, they have it all. Ellis & Ellis Consulting Group, you can visit their website at ellisandellisconsulting.org and tell them I sent you. They also have a Facebook page. Go on there and check them out. Again, this is the Authors Retreat entitled Emerging Scribes, the Creativity, the Dream, and the Passion, July 14th through 16th in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, get there. You are not going to be sorry. So, hey, before we went to our little break, we were talking with Shantae Williams. She is the founder of Greater Working Women and also the spearhead trailblazer of this wonderful ongoing project, I Am Still Somebody. And Shantae's been talking to us about her journey as a teenage mom, and she's been very open and very open-hearted about her journey, her accomplishments, as well as her mistakes. And that's what life is all about. It's about letting people know, hey, I got this. I made it here, but this is what I did to get there. I shouldn't have done this. I should have done that. I did this. Thank God I did. There's so many things that we can learn just by being open and honest and transparent. Now, you don't have to let all of your business out. You have to tell all of your personal stories. There's some things that are just meant just for you and those intimately involved in your life. But for the most part, when you really open up your life and you begin to talk about the things that you survived, what you say and your story can help someone climb a hurdle in their life and be victorious. So I am very, very adamant about this project, Power, Triumph, and Influence, and about people sharing their stories and their life stories. I have a story of my own, and I share it whenever I can. But there are so many other people that have great stories of power and triumph and influence, and I want you to be able to share your story. So, again, if you think you're a candidate, you can email me, info@thetotalwomanglam.com. We are almost booked. We almost have our 50 to 60, so you may want to get on that right away. So we're going to turn back to Shantae, and she's going to talk to me some more about I want to talk about Greater Working Women first, and how that came about, and what was going on your side of the planet that Greater Working Women needed to come out and be birthed.
It's amazing you asked that question. It's really funny. Believe it or not, it started out as just email devotionals when I was working back in 2006, I think. I just felt this nudge from the Holy Spirit just to encourage the women that I knew. And so I would just send them, you know, daily email devotionals. It may not have been daily back then. I can't really remember. But just, you know, encourage them with the word, encourage them in life, encouraging them with whatever I felt, you know, the Lord was giving me. And so it just started, you know, as email devotionals. That's it. You know, nothing official. Didn't even have a name. I just sent out these little purging emails, and people were saying, oh, thank you so much. I really needed that. And they were just so appreciative. And I was like, oh, okay, so I guess this is what I am supposed to be doing. So then it turned into a blog. My best friend was encouraging me, you need to start a blog. And I was like, okay. So just kind of reluctantly, you know, I started this blog, and it was called gwwministry.wordpress.com. And so it just then it turned into a blog. And then a few years later, it turned into Greater Working Women Ministries. My pastor had did a theme, I think the year before, and it was Greater Works. And it stuck out to me. And it just, for some reason, it just tarried in my spirit, and I couldn't let it go. And then I just heard the Lord say, Greater Working Women. And I was like, okay. And even then, I still didn't know that it would be what it is now. I mean, I had no inkling of whatsoever. And that's pretty much really had it started, just, you know, no name, just, you know, doing my little bit to encourage people, not even knowing their situations or what they were going through, just really just obeying God and just doing, you know, just a little part in the kingdom to try to encourage other women just to keep going on, you know, don't give up. I know it's hard, but just keep pressing, you know, keep trusting, keep praying, keep praising, and everything's going to be okay. So that's how it all began. Honest to God.
Wow. Wow. You know, I've heard, I remember when email devotions were, you know, starting to evolve and people were really grabbing a hold to that mission of sending devotionals and emails. And I remember when that thing really took off and I saw a lot of publication being birthed out of that. So, you know, God is just that good. He takes one thing and he will birth it into something else. And so now you have Greater Working Women and you're the founder of Greater Working Women, and you still encourage and uplift people, and you do it every day faithfully. And so And I have seen it for myself, ladies and gentlemen. She does it every day faithfully and loves it. Shantae is very, very excited about what she does. She loves it. So Greater Working Women is a part of one of the niches that you do. And then we start, then I discovered you bake and you are a chef. You are a licensed chef. Is that correct?
That is correct. I went to culinary school and actually got a bachelor's degree in science after I graduated from Ole Miss with my business degree. I wasn't ready to get a job, so I was like, and I, when somebody that I was working with, one of the ladies said, well, you know, they have a culinary school. And I was like, really? I was like, well, I'm going to apply for it. So I went and I toured it, and it was just like, I was at home. It was just heaven to me.
Oh,
I mean,
because wow.
One of the things, you know, and I know people, you either love it or you hate it, but whenever I'm in the kitchen, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how much around me is just going, you know, southward. When I'm in the kitchen, nothing else is on my mind except whatever I'm working on. So it's really my stress reliever. And it's very therapeutic.
Therapeutic. I encourage everyone to find something therapeutic to do. My parents used to do ceramics and pottery. And then I remember when my mom did the paint by numbers. I don't know if you remember that, but we did paint by numbers, and it was always Jesus on the rock praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we paint by numbers, and these little slots were so little, and you get this watercolor paint, and it was embedded in a on a sheet of velvet, and you had to paint all by numbers. It was such an exciting thing to do, but it was so tedious, but it was a stress reliever. So I encourage everyone out there, find something to do that's therapeutic for you so that your hands can do that, will give you a creative outlet. We always encourage people at our ministry, my husband and I, we have a ministry, House of Glory, and we encourage creatives to be creative. One of the things that people are that experience stress and all kinds of depression because they are not letting their creativity flow. It's a form of therapy, but it's something that's in you to do. God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," and that multiplication comes in so many different ways, and creativity is one of them. And so, I encourage anyone listening: if you have not found a hobby or something to do to relieve your stress, do that, and I promise you, it'll be just fine. However, Shantae has turned that into a stream of income as well. So you have a degree in business, and then you start a business, and now we have, what is the name of your company?
Ezana's Delights Bakery and Catering Company.
Hello. She's baking and catering goods. And you just did a project with this past school year. Talk to us about what you did with in the school this past year with Ezana's Delights and Baking.
I went to a high school chemistry class. They were they had an assignment to they were learning the importance of measurement. And if any of you have taken chemistry, you know that wrong measurements can end very sourly. When you're mixing chemicals.
Yes, it can.
And so I did a presentation for them on the food version as far as how measurements are important. So I made them a batch of cookies that I measured to the T, which I hardly ever do. But I measured it to T, and then I tried to make another batch that I didn't measure. And it was a very vast difference. The cookie kind of spread it out, and it was thin, versus the cookie that was nice and plump and airy and soft and moist. But they was like, well, they both taste good. I was like, pretend like they don't. But they got to physically see the importance of. I really tried.
You know, we all go in the kitchen and just wing it. So, but since it was a chemistry class,
yeah.
We have to make it a point. The measurement and volume and weight is very, very important to pass this class.
Exactly.
So you can't wing it for the class. But that's really that's a great example, and it's a good spiritual example as well. Some things you have to follow to the letter in terms of instruction,
mm-hmm.
not in terms of law, but just in terms of instructions. Divine instructions come from the Lord, and God will say, turn left at this point, turn right at that point, and then stop. And we want to keep going, and we want to wing it when what we are creating or where we're going and then it doesn't come out the way that we that God intended. However, even when we wing it, sometimes it still works out for our good. Thank God. Sometimes you want to follow that that recipe to the letter. And other days you can wing it, especially if you're a prophet. You know, we wing it all the time. But I'm really, really was glad to see that you were in the high schools and teaching children and students, rather. How I don't like to call them children by then. I call them students. We need to call them students by then and teaching them, valuable life lessons just by cooking. And so I want to go and fast forward because this is my favorite project of yours. I think it's such a good tool for ministry and education, and being a former social worker, I did home visits with young ladies who did not know who they were. They did not understand who they thought that this was it. I'll just raise my kid and work a job, and there's nothing else for me. And not knowing that there was more to them. They didn't know how to budget, a grocery bill. They didn't know how to clip a coupon. And all of these things that encompass their being. One thing I realized they all had in common, they had become mothers at 16, 17, 18 years old. So you have an ongoing project. That's what I like to call it. I always call it an ongoing project. I Am Still Somebody, which was birthed out of your journey as a teenage mom. Talk to us a little bit about that and what you have coming up with that.
Yes. So, and to be quite honest, I was kind of reluctantly to start this part of the ministry because a part of me was still shameful and embarrassed. And the reason I say that is because people would see me and my daughter together and they would say, oh, you don't look old enough to have a daughter that age. And I can tell in their mind that they're turning, their mind's trying to figure out, well, how old was she when she had? And so my mind automatically went back to when I was 15, and I heard all of those negative things again. And so it really bothered me until I get to the point where I said, you know what? My daughter is like 18, 19 years old. If you have an issue when I was 15, then that issue is not my issue. That's your issue.
That's right.
So once I was able to get over that fact and realize you're not 15 anymore, you have gone way past that. You need to, God was really impressed upon my heart. Now, I didn't bring you out just for you to be okay. I need you to teach other teen mothers what to do in life, how to, how to function, and just to remind them that they are still somebody. Because one of the things with a teen mother is I lost myself. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have a self-identity other than the label that the world gave me, teen mother. And that's very important. To any teen mothers that are listening, teen mom was only a label. It does not define who you are. It is a part of your journey. And so once you realize that, you can start to think bigger and to start to think greater for your life. And so our part of the umbrellas of the ministry is our Teen Mom Mentoring Program, which is called I Am Still Somebody. And our vision for that is encouraging, empowering, equipping teen mothers to be greater women first and then greater mothers. Because what I found out is if I'm not okay as a woman, I'm not going to be okay as a mother. And so the two go hand in hand. You cannot do one without the other. It's impossible. Trust me, I tried it.
Wow. Yes,
and so one
thing
that we're doing is teaching them life skills, teaching them how to manage their money, teaching them how to parent, teaching them how to cook. One of my very dearest things is to get a Christian therapist on board to help them talk through those emotions and to make sure they're okay emotionally. And just all those things it takes for us to function as adults, regardless of whether or not we have a child. All of those life skills that are important. And so one of the things I'm so excited about is that we have our first virtual conference called I Am Still Somebody, and our theme is giving up is never an option. And it was just so timing and so perfect because teen mothers need to know that they can never give up. You cannot give up on yourself.
Yes.
You cannot give up on your child.
Yes.
Because if you give up,
yes,
you're teaching your child how to give up at a younger age. And so once learned that, I was like, okay, I've got to teach this. And so I'm just excited. We have 7 speakers that are going to speak, and we're going to touch on healthy nutrition. God is so good. I met a registered nurse online who was also a teen mother. How good is that?
That's
so she's
awesome.
Going to be talking about healthy mothers and healthy children. Prophet Joshua Smith is going to talk about mental health, and I'm so excited to have him on board. Snow Saxman is going to talk about finances. Geronda Williams is going to talk about college and scholarships. I have Clarissa Joy coming to talk about entrepreneurship, which is something that I want them to understand, that you still have the opportunity to own your own business. And then I'm going to be talking about cooking and meal planning. So just those different aspects that I hope I haven't missed one. I don't think I have. That we're going to teach
these, you got them
these young ladies. I think so. And so each speaker is only going to have 10 to 15 minutes to speak. It's nothing going to be long and drawn out. So we're going to start at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and hopefully we'll be done in about 2 hours. So you can – it is absolutely free. So you can register online at IamStillSomebody.com. It is free. It is free. It is free. So you have no excuse not to register, and it's going to be awesome. We also have some opportunities for you to sponsor. So if you're interested in that, you can also click on the sponsor link and just choose which one you want to sponsor with. So I'm excited about this event, and I'm just hoping and praying that if it just reaches one teen mother, I have done my job.
That's right.
And so I'm just excited.
Definitely reach more than that.
One life.
I'm excited for you. That's awesome. And also you have Teen Mom Talk every Tuesday at 6 p.m. So you guys go and log on Facebook and go join, I believe, Greater Working Women is the page that you need to go and find that link for. And every Tuesday at 6 p.m., Shantae does Teen Mom Talk. And I am excited to see that you are doing that for our young ladies as well. And so the conference is coming up, the virtual conference is coming up. She said it. It's free. I think she said that a couple times. That means it's free, folks. You want to come on through and check her out. And those awesome speakers, a few of them I've even heard myself, and they are awesome people to grace your eardrums and get wisdom and knowledge and understanding on your journey as a teen mom. And, hey, if you have a daughter who's a teen mom, also, make sure you hit that website and go into the virtual conference and get some information for your teen daughter, because sometimes our teenagers don't want to hear it. So we have to find ways, okay?
Exactly.
We have to find ways to impart that wisdom into our teenage daughters who are also, you know, moms. And so I congratulate you, and I commend you for taking this journey on. I know it wasn't easy. I understand. I remember when I wrote my book about my journey, and I felt shame, you know, coming on me, because I knew I was going to have to face some things and face some people and everything. But, you know, God is the ultimate key to vindication, and He will vindicate you. And He's already done it through His blood. And Jesus Christ, when He shed His blood on the cross, He washed us clean from all sin and sickness and disease. And so the blood of Jesus is what has cleansed our heart. And that's why we have access to living a much more productive life than we ever thought. And so if you're listening tonight and you're a teenage mom and you're struggling in your spiritual life, we would love to pray for you and encourage you. Please make sure that you get on board IamStillSomebody.com and join that virtual conference, and they will be more than happy to hear you and pray with you and help you advance to your next place in your journey. I thank you so much, Shantae, for joining us this evening. I want to encourage everybody to make sure that you tune in every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/glamnetworkradio for women. We are going to be here this Thursday night with Courtney Aiken. If you guys don't know how to be found, Courtney will tell you. This is Finding Eve was how I met this ministry. I actually met Courtney before that, but Finding Eve was an awesome, awesome move that her and other single women had put together. And so now she's on this journey of what to do before you're found and how to continue living your life as a single woman. Awesome woman of God. She's a minister, and she has another business under her belt as well. And she's a wealth of wisdom. She opens her mouth and she speaks. God really uses her. So if you're a single woman and you want some information on and tidbits and nuggets on how to continue living your life as a single woman until you're found, by all means, make sure you join us on Thursday night at 7 p.m. If you're online, don't forget, if you're out and about and you still want to be able to listen in, you can dial in at 646-668-8135 every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for joining me, Shante. I appreciate you. Tell us how we can find you on all social media platforms.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me. I am at Greater Women, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, greaterwomen.com, website at Greater Women everywhere. I'd love to connect with
everywhere.
You.
And also visit Amazon.com. Look Shante up. She has the Greater Working Women devotional. I believe it's two of those. And the I Am Still Somebody series is awesome. We can't even get into all of them, but it is a series of books and workbooks and devotional specifically written for teenage moms. So you go to Amazon.com, order the Greater Woman, the Greater Working Women devotional, and also go and see the I Am Still Somebody series. If you know a teenage mom who could use those series, go ahead and order it for her and send it to her house. Hey, I told you, you got to come up with new creative ways to reach out to our young people. So I thank you so much, Shante, and I appreciate you. And by all means, come back and visit me again. I love you so much. Thank you again for showing up with us tonight. Okay, listen, everybody, here is the quote of the day. And this quote of the day is brought to you by the Shulamite Women magazine. And the quote of the day is, "Don't cast your pearls to swine. Save them for the assigned." I love that quote. That's from my friend Belinda John, Dr. Belinda John, and she is the publisher of the Shulamite Women magazine. By all means, go by her page on Facebook, the Shulamite Women magazine, and check out her publication as well. And guess what? I think I'll be gracing that front page very, very soon. God bless America. We are doing some things with the Glam Network Radio. Well, God bless you so much. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, call a friend, call a neighbor, share all over Facebook, and let people know that we are back on the air, Glam Network Radio, here to grace your eardrums with stories of power, triumph, and influence. I love you, and we're going to wrap the night up with Smokey Norfolk and Perfect Me. God bless you, and I'll see you on Thursday night.